Welcome to the Happy Menopause Podcast with me, Jackie Lynch, registered nutritional therapist and founder of the Well Nutrition Clinic, where I specialise in women's health and the menopause. There are so many ways that diet and lifestyle can help to relieve a whole range of menopause symptoms. And my new book, The Happy Menopause, Smart Nutrition to Help You Flourish, is packed with practical nutrition advice to support you through this transition. It's out now and available to order in all the usual places. Join me and my expert guests on a journey through midlife in this podcast and find out how you can have a healthy and happy menopause. Vitamin D is a non-negotiable for our health and well-being at any age, but never more so than in mid and later life, which is why I've decided to shine a light on it in this episode. I've invited Andrew Thomas, founder of one of my favourite supplement companies, Better You, to chat to me about all things vitamin D. What it is, why we need it, why we might be deficient, and typical signs of that, how the body produces it, and what sort of supplement dosage is appropriate. But first, here's an extra shout out for Better You, who kindly sponsor this podcast. We need optimum levels of vitamin D to absorb the calcium which keeps our bones strong and healthy. And that's why a supplement really is a non-negotiable for women in midlife. Vitamin D also plays a key role in supporting immune function, protecting against infection, and it can influence our mood and mental health too. I'm a big fan of the Better You Vitamin D oral sprays, which include products suitable for all the family that are very simple to use and with a delicious peppermint flavour. Discover their full range of vitamin and mineral sprays and their wonderfully calming magnesium products, which come as lotions, bath salts and skin sprays, by visiting betteryou.com/THM, where listeners can get 20% off at checkout using the code THM, subject to terms and conditions. So that's betteryou.com/THM, plus the discount code THM, which stands for The Happy Menopause. Nice and easy to remember. And so on to today's episode. I'm delighted to welcome Andrew Thomas to the podcast. He's just the man we need to help us understand the ins and outs of this hormone-like vitamin. He's been on quite a journey, from a chance encounter at a rodeo, which led him to found his supplement company, to winning the Queen's Award for Enterprise. So let's hear his words of wisdom on vitamin D. Welcome to the Happy Menopause, Andy.
Thank you so much for having me, Jackie.
It's a pleasure. So before we get down into all the wonders of the world of vitamin D, I'd like you to tell us your story. So what's your background and how do you come to where you are today?
Wow. Okay. So my background isn't from biochemistry, as a lot of people would expect. I'm actually sales and marketing and publishing as a background.
Okay.
But I met, as you do sometimes, I met the most amazing gentleman who changed my life. And his name was Juan Rosello. He was a biochemist.
Okay.
I was filming a rodeo in North Carolina for
a rodeo
for Wrangler jeans. Yeah, I
used. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I used to work for Wrangler jeans. I was head of retail marketing for UK and Europe. I was filming a rodeo in North Carolina. I was relaxing in a bar with the crew, and I met Juan Rosello, and we got talking as you do. And I told him I was an asthmatic, and I'd been an asthmatic since the age of 12, heavily reliant on steroid-based inhalers. And Juan quite flippantly said, do you know, if you want to get off those, if you want to get your life back, you really should look at your mineral intake. And it's two key minerals you need to balance. You need to balance calcium and magnesium. He said, and I guarantee you've got a high level of calcium and a very, very low level of magnesium. If we can redress that, he said, you'll be fine. And one of the ways of doing that is elevating magnesium. And he was actually doing some research on transdermal magnesium at the time, applying magnesium chloride onto the skin.
Right.
And so he gave me some. He dropped some off at my hotel the next day, and I dutifully applied this every day for about a month. And we kept in touch, and I said, Juan, I don't know whether it's just I'm going insane, but I'm sure I'm feeling better. I'm much more relaxed. And I believe I'm not using my inhaler as much. And he said, look, Andy, it's absolutely fine. It's right. This is what will happen. Elevate magnesium. Calcium comes out of your soft tissue and into your bones where it should go. In fact, it's magnesium, vitamin D, and K2. They're the three key areas. But magnesium was something that we all lack. And so I asked him where I could buy some more, and he said, well, it's not commercially available. This was back in 2005, 2006. And he said, if you want to know more, then, you know, I'd fly out to the mine where I got it from.
Oh, where was that?
In Veendam in northern Holland. And I ummed and ahed. And then I got on a plane and I flew to the mine.
Right.
Half owned by the Dutch government, half owned by a company called Nedmac. And I spoke to two geologists who were the mine managers.
And this is a magnesium mine?
Yeah, magnesium chloride. Magnesium chloride hexahydrate. And it's a form of magnesium that has the weakest bond between the magnesium ion and its compound, which right. means the ion can be more easily released. Therefore, it right. heightens bioavailability. It's the most volatile of the magnesium compounds, and so it's the compound that is more easily absorbed in the body.
Right.
And when you apply it onto the skin, the ion releases immediately and goes into the bloodstream via the skin. And so, yeah, it transformed my life. I mean, I've been asthma-free now for 14 years, almost 15 years.
Gosh, that's amazing.
So, you know, that was a transformational moment for me. I shook hands with the mine owners that day and I flew back home and thought I better set up a company. And that's how Better You was born.
Oh, my goodness. That's one of life's really transformational moments, the sort of meet the guy in a bar and suddenly you've launched a company.
I know. But it works. And I'm sure you speak to a lot of business owners who have similar personal experiences. There's a life-changing moment where you think, if I don't do this, who will?
Yes, 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 absolutely. I see that. That's absolutely fascinating. And the listeners will know I am always banging on about magnesium. For me, magnesium is the menopausal woman's best friend. So it's really interesting to hear a sort of backstory around that. And of course, I'm particularly interested in that balance, because one of the things I talk about a lot is the importance of mineral balance. You know, as you know, they work in opposition to each other. Too much of one knocks out the other.
Absolutely.
So high doses of individual minerals can often disrupt its opposition partner. So getting that right is really important. And magnesium often loses out to calcium. So really fascinating to hear that story. So obviously you went back and you launched Better You, but anyone who has launched a business or just set up on their own will know that it's a lot more than just, oh, I launched a business. It must have been quite a lot to get going. Was it tough?
Yeah, it was tough. And particularly when I first entered this industry, I was a one-trick pony. So I had my magnesium. I had to put it in a bottle with a spray and I was, going around stores and practitioners. And I thought, well, I'd better bring some other products with me. And so I developed a range of tablets and capsules, actually, at the time, to help bolster the product range. But it was always magnesium that they kept on coming back to. And I realized I had something very special. But at the same time, I was working with Charles Hurd, who is head of pharmacy and pharmacology, looking at magnesium absorption. He was testing the absorption of our magnesium products. And he asked me, what is the next product? And I said, well, I'm working with Jan de Vries, and Jan is backing my vitamin D product, and it's going to be a capsule. He said, right, have you thought about an oral spray? I went, no, why? And he said, well, I've just undertaken a fair bit of research, and it's now published, looking at quinine-based oral spray as a malaria preventer in Africa, which
right.
clearly has saved tens of thousands of lives. The premise was that the vast majority of deaths from malaria were under fives, and of those, the highest percentage were under 1 year old, who can't take tablets and capsules. And to have a very, very simple quinine spray that the parent could administer every day, simple spray into the mouth of the child, just saved tens of thousands of lives. And I just thought, this is genius. It goes, straight into the bloodstream. So I said, well, could you test my liquid, the liquid that's in the capsule for me, Charles, and tell me if it works? If it works, I'll do it. And fortunately, Charles Hurd, who's head of pharmacy and pharmacology, has a body of students, undergraduates, doctorate students, master's students, who are just waiting for the next trial that they can jump onto. So he said, not a problem, Andy. Give it to me and I'll test it. So we tested the absorption of our vitamin D in coconut oil as a spray applied into the mouth, and found that it absorbs phenomenally well. It happens to be a particular oil-based vitamins happen to be particularly well absorbed through the non-keratinized membrane and the buccal membrane, the inner cheek. And he said, it's fantastic. It absorbs brilliantly. Go for it. And so my capsule suddenly became an oral spray.
And there, of course, we sort of get to the heart of what Better You is, which is transdermal and oral spray products.
That's right. And, you know, and I have to say, I never started out doing this, but, you know, again, you listen, and you listen to people who know more than you, and you adapt, and you respond, and you wait and see if people like what you're doing. But all the time you're testing. And this is something that I've always felt, and I know, you know, we know each other for a long time, Jackie, you know, I've always felt a little bit of a fraud. You know, someone's going to call me out at some point and say, Andy Thomas, you don't know what you're talking about. So test everything that we do. You have to test. Test the absorption. Test the stability. Test the efficacy. If there's a student body, a university who wants something to test, I'm first in line. Please, here's my product. By all means, knock yourself out. And yeah, so we've got a pretty large, robust body of clinical trials now under our belt, which has been great.
Fantastic. And it's so reassuring, yes. Of course, to know that for me, obviously, as a clinician, but more importantly, for the general public who are out there buying the product to understand that it is properly researched. But let's get down into the nub of today's episode, vitamin D. First of all, what is it and why is it important for women in midlife?
What is it? So vitamin D is what we'd class as a pro-hormone. Okay, so vitamin D as we know it, as we see on the shelves or as we see on a label, is actually a precursor to a hormone. The journey is quite an interesting one. And I think if I explain the journey of how we produce vitamin D, I think it will explain more what it is. So we basically manufacture the hormone in our bodies, but we need a stimulant first. So it comes predominantly from our skin's unprotected exposure to UVB radiation. So that's the radiation of the sun that helps stimulate vitamin D receptors in the fat cells under our skin to produce vitamin D. So it produces cholecalciferol. That's the first form of vitamin D. That then gets converted in our bodies to vitamin D as we know it, as we measure it, called 25-hydroxyvitamin D. That is, if you go to a doctor and get a test, a blood test, that is what they are testing for. And that 25-hydroxyvitamin D is a precursor to what we call 1-alpha-25-hydroxyvitamin D, which is the hormone. So this is the vitamin D that is actually doing the good. Mm. At that point, then, the body then utilizes that for all number of health benefits, from solubilizing calcium, getting it into the bone, to inflammatory response maintenance and a healthy immune system. So yeah. Massively important, but it's something that we need to synthesize in our bodies.
Yeah, and I think it's important to pick up on that, because not everyone's aware of the fact that it's absolutely vital for the absorption of calcium, which is one of the key reasons, of course, that it's supportive of our bone health. Absolutely no point in stuffing yourself with calcium tablets if your vitamin D is low, is there?
Absolutely right. And if we think about, you know, what we're talking about when we talk about the health of mankind, our health, really we're talking about something that's happened in the last 100, 200 years, which is a blink of an eye in the lifespan of Homo sapiens. You know, when we developed as a species and thrived, it was on the plains of Africa, we had dark skin, dark hair, dark eyes, exposure to very, very high intensity UVB radiation. Our calcium intake was incredibly low compared to what it is in a Western diet, probably about three times lower than what we would have in a Western diet. But our vitamin D intake was pretty high. There was a parity of everything, going back to what you said to start with. There was a beautiful balance. At that point, when we were thriving so much, we started to migrate, and we migrate to the Northern Hemisphere and the Southern Hemisphere. And as you see on the globe, when you start to get higher and lower, the sun's rays start to reduce And we evolved from dark skin, dark eyes, dark hair to lighter skin, blue eyes, blonde hair, in order to assimilate and absorb as much of the waning UVB radiation that was available. But we managed it. That evolutionary process managed it well. We were outdoors a lot of the time, and we were managing to balance very well. Dark skin, dark eyes, dark hair in the equator, lighter skin in the northern hemisphere, southern hemisphere. And then, of course, the Industrial Revolution started. For the first time in our species history, more of us were living indoors and outdoors. We were all piled together in factories and major conurbations, and it changed the way we live, and it therefore changed the way we absorb and receive vitamin D. And that's when, you know, we're starting to talk about osteoporosis, osteopenia, all the bone diseases and bone problems we have now.
Yes, I mean, I know there's some very interesting research looking at bones of people who have been dug up from early Victorian times. The bone density was much, much greater than it is now. And perhaps that's part of the picture, the fact that from that time onwards, people were much more indoors than outdoors. So what are the potential signs of deficiency of vitamin D?
Well, the first one is exactly as you say, bone weakening. So bone density reduction would be one. So in later life, we're looking at falls. We're looking at osteopenia, osteomalacia, osteoporosis. Mm-hmm. We're looking at anything to do with bone or joint function and a reduction of that.
Because you can often get aching bones and joints, can't you, I find, with vitamin D deficiency.
Absolutely, absolutely right. Yes, and you're right. You know, that would be the first symptom when you start to ache. Mm-hmm. Often it happens in cold weather. You say, "Oh, my joints are starting to ache," and you know it's cold, damp weather coming. You know, it's not really a reaction necessarily to the weather. There's a lot of other things happening in your bodies, and one of them is a reduction of vitamin D.
Yeah, yeah.
And vitamin D being fat soluble vitamin, a lot of people think, well, we store it for forever. And we don't. It's one of those fat soluble vitamins that isn't stored for a very long time, probably about 60 days.
Well, we use it up pretty darn quickly.
That's right.
Because it does a lot of stuff. And I think it's super important to think about bones, particularly for midlife women, because you can lose up to 25% of bone density by the time you've gone through the menopause. But what's so interesting, even compared to when I first started training, is the level of research that's coming out about vitamin D and the impact it has on so many other systems. So what else can it do for us?
I mean, if we're looking at symptoms of low level of vitamin D, for example, SAD, for people struggling with SAD, so seasonal affective disorder, but also mental health. You know, it has a direct link to the body's ability to produce serotonin as well. There have been a number of studies, and I think vitamin D is probably the most studied vitamin now. I think there's probably more vitamin D studies than all the other vitamins combined in the last 4 or 5 years. And I think a lot of what we know about vitamin D has come from the last 30 years' studies.
I think the mental health thing is really interesting. Some people obviously do struggle with issues like seasonal affective disorder, but just the basic winter blues, it can make a difference. I think the evidence is there in front of us. Those of us who are lucky enough to go away for winter sun in sort of early January cruise through those early part of the year where everybody else has got the January and February blues. So it's just sort of worth recognizing the impact that can have on you and your mental health. And I think it's also, when you talk about serotonin, just worth flagging up that's the good mood neurotransmitter. When we've got low levels of serotonin, that's the one that is very often a slow road to low mood and depression. So it's very interesting because I think, you know, people often just think about vitamin D in terms of bones and teeth, but it's much more than that.
And I don't think that can be underestimated. You know, when we had lockdown, when people were struggling with their mood, a lot of it was a result of just not having access to sunlight, not getting outside.
Yeah.
It's vital. It's vital for people to experience the world around us and getting that access to sun. Now, we might not be elevating vitamin D all the time, and there's a lot of things conspiring against us, clothing. You know, when I talk about unprotected exposure, I'm talking about makeup as well, which obviously will have a UMF of 15 quite often. You can't get UVB radiation through glass, for example, you do need to be outside and you do need to be exposed to the sun. And that's really, really important.
Yes, and of course, that's problematic because people are quite understandably wearing sunscreen to protect themselves against the risk of skin cancer. And there was there've been instances, haven't there, some years ago of an increase in rickets in Australia for young children following their very successful slip, slap, slop skin cancer campaign in the 90s.
Absolutely.
And it's very difficult to get the balance right because obviously we're not advocating that people don't protect themselves. But how do you get that balance right?
It's never been harder to get that balance right now. We are just not used to the sun as we used to be 100, 200 years ago. It was, you know, we had a sensible respect for the sun. We started work early. We found shade. You know, this is you know what we did. Now we're so there's so much of an instance of sun avoidance that we do need to be sensible and we do need to protect ourselves. You know, I am a big advocate of you know my children certainly going out into early morning sun and making sure that they have at least a few minutes of unprotected exposure before we put the sun cream on. But you've got to be very, very sensible. You know, this is UK sun. You know, if you go off to Spain, you go to the Africa, this is a different sun. And this is, you know, for our skin pigmentation.
Yeah, exactly. We've evolved to deal with our level of sun and you go somewhere else and you know about it.
Well, and you know, to your point about rickets, we know we're seeing, you know, more and more cases of rickets now than ever before. And you'd think, well, this is a Victorian illness. You know, this is something that happened when people moved into major conurbations and industrial premises, you know, in the Industrial Revolution. It's happening now, and we're seeing it predominantly from children, and it's mainly children with darker skin pigmentation.
Yeah.
So, you know, from African or Asian societies. And there you've got the darker skin pigmentation, which makes it harder for them to absorb UVB radiation in the Northern Hemisphere. Perfectly adept, closer to the equator, but difficult for them to absorb natural UVB radiation here in the UK. And where it's not supplemented, and it's difficult to find it in food, it's very difficult to eat your way out of a vitamin D deficiency. Mm-hmm. So we are seeing the results of that, and it's increase in rickets.
Yeah, so we need to be aware that ethnicity really does play a part. Now, there's one big thing, and I think it was probably what you were about to go on to, so I'm going to bring it up now, is the connection with our immune system and the support there, because there's an awful lot of interesting research about the role of vitamin D in optimal immunity. So tell us more about that.
Yeah, so I think outside of the bones, the benefit of a healthy, optimal level of vitamin D for a healthy immune system is probably the biggest factor. And we saw it most recently during COVID.
Yeah.
And I think although there was resistance to believe it, because, there is no such thing as a silver bullet, and it's very, very difficult to hero a single nutrient. And I'm very much against that because everything works in a balance. However, there are certain nutrients that are in such a paucity in our modern life, vitamin D being one of them, that I think it's very, very difficult not to treat it in isolation. And what they found, and there were a number of different studies, one particular one in Spain, and looked at the body's ability to better resist the impact of COVID. Through higher levels of vitamin D. And it's about inflammatory response. So inflammation is a natural way that the body deals with a number of viruses, but rampant inflammation is what will tend to knock you down and get rid of you. So you need controlled inflammation. And the higher level of vitamin D helps the inflammatory response be in control. And that's really, really important. And that was particularly shown with people's better ability to resist the highly negative impact of COVID. It wouldn't stop you getting it, but it would certainly mean that you can come out of it more easily.
Likely to affect the severity and longevity of symptoms.
Particularly the respiratory system. You know, we were seeing a lot of respiratory problems, and there you see the inflammatory response kicking in immediately with respiratory problems. And vitamin D was certainly helping that. But, you know, going back to just what we see every year, coughs, colds, and sneezes. You know that the coughs and colds are around are with us year round. Those viruses don't go away. They're seasonal because of our body's inability to cope with them at certain times of the year. So during summer months, where our vitamin D levels tend to be higher, we're more resistant to coughs, colds, sneezes, flu. But during winter months, when we lose the sun, come September, October time, we start to reduce our natural level of vitamin D, and that's when our immune system starts to get depressed, and then we start to have more instances of the common cold. It's not a coincidence. It's a cause and effect, definitely.
No, absolutely. I think you make it through the winter much more easily if you're looking after your vitamin D levels.
Absolutely.
So what sort of dosage is recommended?
Well, this is a gnarly issue because obviously the RDA has not really moved much. It was the RDAs were first set in 1947.
That's the recommended daily allowances.
That's right. Sorry, the recommended allowance. And it was the amount, back then, we didn't really know a great deal about vitamin D. And back then, it was the amount of vitamin D that was contained in a spoonful, 5 mil of cod liver oil. So a spoonful of cod liver oil was seen to ward off rickets. We thought, well, that's the level of vitamin D that you need. So that's 200 international units or 5 micrograms of vitamin D. Subsequently, we've realized that rickets is only one element that vitamin D is needed for. And we can see a number of illnesses and issues of the likes of internal cancers, diabetes, multiple sclerosis have all been linked to low levels of vitamin D, or our robustness against them has been linked to low levels of vitamin D. So at that, if you want to make your body more robust, then you need a higher level than what's contained in a spoonful of cod liver oil. Mm. And
I mean, it is one of the challenges of the RDAs. It's essentially enough of a vitamin or mineral that you don't get deficient. It's enough vitamin C to stop you getting scurvy. It's not enough vitamin C necessarily to keep you in really great optimal health.
Absolutely right. And vitamin D, the more we know, the more we're realizing that actually, because the vast majority of the vitamin D we need comes from skin exposure to the sun. So we can talk about diet in a minute, but predominantly skin exposure. The skin exposure for, you know, my one-year-old, for example, will be very, very different to mine. There's about a 10 times difference. And so there is a 10 times ability to produce vitamin D within that skin. So what my son can produce and therefore need is probably 10 times lower than what I can produce and need. And so here we're looking, and the rule of thumb would be based on, we call it body weight, but it's indicative to body size.
Sure.
So 25 micrograms of vitamin D, which is about 1,000 international units per 25 kilograms of body weight. So for a grown man, let's say I'm 75 kilograms, that's 3,000 international units. That's what I take, have done for 13 years, and that's my maintenance dose.
Yeah.
For my son, 400 international units.
Yeah.
You know, and everything in between. So that's a good rule of thumb. No, I think 50 is that, no. Is there, so 50 is that baseline, but 100 to 150 is really where we
where
should
you'd
be.
Where you'd like to be. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah.
Very helpful.
Yes.
And so, it's so worth knowing that most multivitamins and minerals tend to have about 400 IU in. So, you know, for your average midlife woman, you could happily take vitamin D on top of that to top that up to, you know, an extra 1,000, 2,000 IU for sure. So it's very, very difficult to achieve a state of vitamin D toxicity. It's possible and you don't want it, but you have to work very hard, don't you, to get that to that point.
I think that's absolutely right, Jackie. I've never seen it. I've never seen evidence of it in all my time. Theoretically, it's possible and you don't want to do it. You're absolutely right. And it's always good to, if you're in doubt, talk to a practitioner, talk to a medical professional about this. But the vast majority of the supplements on the marketplace are of a sensible dosage, and take them sensibly.
Well, that's the thing. It is about respecting the dosage. It's something I say a lot when I'm talking to people in workshops. I can't give specific individual recommendations to a large group of people in a workshop. What I can say is respect the dose on the label, because we do want a quick fix. We do love a quick fix. And with so many of these things, you know, less is often more, and respecting the dosage on the label is a really smart move.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, what we tend to find is we've recently undertaken a support, nutritional support for the British Antarctic expedition. And we're also supporting a team who are rowing across the Atlantic Ocean shortly. And there we're looking at two different, very extreme situations for low levels of vitamin D. One because of sun protection, the one because there's no sun. You know, what we're finding is there's an elevated requirement of vitamin D, but actually the elevation happens very, very quickly. So within a month, you can elevate levels of vitamin D very effectively. It doesn't have to be an ongoing basis. And what we'd always say is follow the recommendation. You can elevate your levels if you have low levels over 1 month, 2 months, maximum 3 months, and then you go down to a maintenance level. You don't have to elevated levels ongoing. Yeah,
absolutely. And if in doubt, seek advice, get a blood test, know where you are on that scale. That's something to be doing. So they sound like two very exciting projects you've got coming up. And I know you also recently won the Queen's Award for Enterprise, which is very impressive. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. No, we were beside ourselves with pride on that one. We've worked very hard, I think, to get it. Innovation is the lifeblood of Better You. It's something that we hold very dear. It's why we get out of bed in the morning.
So did you get to meet the Queen or not?
It was Prince Charles, and it was Windsor Castle.
Marvellous.
We actually got awarded the prize here in our offices at HQ, which was wonderful because you're really only allowed to take, I think it was one other person. When I went, there was 2 years combined as one, so it was just me who went. But we had the Lord Lieutenant who came, sort of Queen's envoy, really, who presented it the prize to myself and to Robin, my business partner, and the whole team were present. So that was lovely because normally they don't get a chance to experience it.
Yes, absolutely.
So that was really good.
Excellent. Yeah. So where can people find Better You if they'd like to find out more about your products?
Well, the first place would be betteryou.com. So that's our website. You know, we have a customer experience team. So you can ask us anything about our products or whatsoever. And we've there's nothing we don't know about them. But also we're available on other online sources, but also in the high street.
I'll be sure to put links to your website in the show notes so everyone can find you easily. We've come to the end now, but before we wrap up, I always end up with the same question. So Andy, tell me, what are your top two tips for women in midlife if they're concerned about their vitamin D?
The first one is, we've just discovered, you have to look after your skin. We're not used to the strength of the summer sun quite as much as we used to as a species. So protect yourself, but do get outside. Massively important. As well as getting outside, take a supplement. Take a sensible dosage. So in the multivitamins, you're absolutely right, there's 400 international units, but you're not really going to get a great deal unless you eat a lot of oily fish every day. And there's a difference there between wild oily fish and farmed oily fish, for example. Farmed will have a lot less vitamin D in there. It's very difficult to top up your levels, really, with food.
Indeed.
So take a supplement. And, you know, if you want to trial an oral spray, then do so. And if you want advice, talk to someone. That's probably the key here. I don't think there should be any question as to whether people should supplement vitamin D these days. I think there's been enough research, there's been enough coverage, it's been talked about in Parliament. It's important. But talk to someone. Find out a little bit more about it. Get a dosage that's advised. Stick to it. That's important. And even during summer months, you know, we're talking and it's summer at the moment, but you know, I leave my back door, I go to my car, I go to my office. It's sunny outside, I go from my office to my car and home again. I believe the sun's there, but you know, I'm showing about 5% of my body at this moment in time. And so we always overestimate what we believe we're exposing to the sun. And the fact of the matter is, it's pretty low. So if you're worried about vitamin D, and I think everybody should take vitamin D very seriously.
Excellent advice. Andy, it's been great talking to you. Thanks very much for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Jackie. I've loved it.
Well, if that hasn't convinced you, nothing will. I really do urge you to take vitamin D if you're not already, especially as we slide into the autumn and winter. I promise that you'll notice an appreciable difference. If you'd like to find out more about Andy and Better You, you can find the links to their website and social media on the show notes, which are on the podcast page of my website, well-well-well.co.uk. In the next episode, we're talking skin, which is a hugely hot topic for we midlife women, so make sure you look out for that one. If you enjoy the podcast, please do give it a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts or whichever platform you listen on. And please do tell your friends and family about it. I'd be so grateful because it really does make a difference to the visibility of the podcast so that more women can find the show. After all, every woman deserves to have a happy menopause. Thanks so much for listening. Bye for now.